All right, if you have got your Bibles, we're going to start with our scripture today. And our scripture is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it'll be verses 1 through 4. And it's also printed in your bulletin, and it'll be up on the screen behind me. But this is our scripture for today. Paul writes, he says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier for Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer." All right, if you would, let's pray. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you, God, for your presence and your word. And I just ask right now, Lord, that you would just come, Holy Spirit, and open up the scriptures to us once again. Lord, we want to hear from you and meet with you. And God, we want to find your voice and your presence in these words and in these pages. So Lord, nobody needs to hear anything from me, but we ask that you would speak. And you said, "He who has ears, let him hear." So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, help us hear, and that you would change us. We pray this in your name. Amen. You know how when you were a kid, we all did this. You know, when you were a kid, we all kind of had that one dream job or kind of dream role in life we all wanted. Like, all kids are like that. You know, if you ask a kid, what do you want to be when they grow up, they say, "Oh, I want to be a cowboy," or "I want to be, you know, some Disney princess or a baseball player." You know, we all did that. I mean, every single one of us. And for me, when I was a kid, the one thing I wanted to be, and I was pretty obsessed with it, is I wanted to be a soldier. Like, hardcore, I wanted to be a soldier. That's all I ever wanted when I was a little kid. I just wanted to be somebody who got to run around with a gun like Rambo with my shirt off and kill people. Like, that is what I wanted to be. And so I was obsessed with it. Like, I was a soldier for Halloween for a lot of straight years. Like, I just wore my camo gear and, you know, all this stuff. And I thought about bringing y'all a picture of me in my camo gear when I was a kid. But with social media today, I was like, that picture won't stay in this room, and I can't have that. So, but I was just obsessed with that. I just wanted to be a soldier. And something I'm actually really proud of is I had an amazing toy gun collection. Like, I had an arsenal in my room. I had a single bed, and I had one of those, like, kind of roll-out trundle beds under my bed. And that's where I kept all my guns. And I would lay them out, like, categorize them. Like, the pistols were here. The cowboy guns were here. My water guns were here. Like, it was kind of Walking Dead-ish how many guns I had, like, stored away. But it was really cool. And I was very popular at sleepovers because everybody would be like, "Haynes, bring all your guns." I was like, "I know. I got it. Okay." And I used pine cones as grenades. You know, you'd bite it off and throw it. I mean, this is what I did. I just wanted to be a soldier. And I grew up in the 80s, too. So the 80s is the greatest decade ever for awesome yet terrible soldier action movies. I mean, like, Rambo. I mean, everybody wanted to be Rambo. Arnold Schwarzenegger made those great movies like Commando. And again, those movies taught you that as a soldier, you were ripped, you never wore a shirt, and you would never get shot. And I was like, that's what I want to be. I was just, that's it. You know, even movies like Top Gun, I'm not proud of this. I used to know all the words in the movie to Top Gun, and my parents probably were not thrilled with that. But, you know, it's what I wanted to be. Even Star Wars, you got to be a soldier in space. That just took it to, like, the next level. That was like, oh, man. The greatest war movie ever, I don't care, this is not even up for debate, is Red Dawn. Who's seen the movie Red Dawn from the 80s? You know what I'm talking about? That was literally my dream right there. Because that movie, if you don't know, it's about the Soviet Union invades America, and these high school kids start a guerrilla war against the Soviets. I mean, that was the dream. I mean, like, I was like, that's it. Lord, if I could do that, please let Russia invade America, and I would be in Red Dawn. I loved it. It was so cool. So I just was obsessed with being a soldier when I was a kid. But if you don't know, I did not become a soldier in any way. As I got older, I realized I had none of what it took to be a soldier. I'm not nearly tough enough. So I've never got to shoot bad guys with my shirt off, and maybe one day, but probably not. But that's what I wanted to be. But I never did become one, I guess you would say, in kind of our world. I didn't join the military. But I do want to say this, and I mean this very, very seriously. In every sense of the word, though, I really 100% am. I did become a soldier for Jesus. And so did you. If you're a Christian, the Bible is really clear that we are soldiers for Jesus, and we really are in an army, and that God has an army. And we're going to talk about today, given that it's Memorial Day, we want to talk about this whole reality of being a soldier for Jesus and what that means and what that's about. And so we're going to start that discussion out of our scripture we read in 2 Timothy. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul, the apostle, is writing, and the 2 Timothy is a letter that Paul wrote to this guy named Timothy, and he wrote a series of letters to them, and two of them made in the Bible, 1 and 2 Timothy. They're pretty, Paul put a lot of thought into those titles, but he just said, hey, I'm writing to Timothy, I'm going to call it 1 Timothy, and here's the second letter I wrote to Timothy. But Paul writes this letter, and Timothy was a young pastor that Paul knew. And Timothy was actually a pastor that Paul had discipled and invested in, and he had raised up to be a pastor. And so the two letters of Timothy is just Paul's advice and counsel for Timothy as a young pastor. And so in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul starts talking, and he starts using this military lingo. And I'm just going to read to you verse 3 again that we read at the beginning. And it says, Paul writes, join me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So Paul starts using this military lingo, and he says, all right, you know, Timothy, you got to be a good soldier. You've got a commanding officer. And the thing is like, we can kind of read that and to understand, like, Paul's not using a metaphor here. He's not talking just kind of in cool, pump you up kind of language. He's not saying, yeah, Timothy, you're a soldier. But Paul is talking about, he is saying to Timothy, you really are a soldier, and you really have a commanding officer. And Paul's talking about here is reality. Again, it's not a metaphor, it's not kind of this cool language. He is talking absolute reality to Timothy, saying, Timothy, you're a Jesus follower, and that means you're a soldier, and you have a commanding officer. And so for us to understand, that is totally true about us too. Our reality is, as Jesus followers, part of our calling is that we are soldiers for Jesus. And that we do have a commanding officer, and it's Jesus. And God really does have an army. And that's what's going on here in 2 Timothy. That's what Paul is talking about. Now, the reason Paul is talking to Timothy about being a soldier, and he's using all this military language, is this. Paul is trying to tell him, he's letting us know it. He's saying, as Christians, we are in a war. Christians, we are in a war. We really are. We are in a spiritual war that is taking place. Spiritual warfare is a real thing, all right? Ephesians chapter 6 says this. It says, for the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so this verse is talking about how we are in a war. We're in an actual, literal, spiritual war as Christians. We are right in the thick of one. That we are soldiers in this war, and that we are fighting a really, very real spiritual war. And this war that we're a part of, it is between Jesus and Satan. It's between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And they are engaged in warfare. And since we follow Jesus, we are in his army. We are part of his side of the war, engaged in spiritual warfare. So that's kind of the big picture of kind of where we're headed. Let me kind of unpack this for you and let you kind of know what this war is and why we're in it. And, you know, because some of this might be new for some of you. Some of you have heard this. But I kind of remember, you know, hearing about spiritual warfare, it's kind of the first time you hear it, it can kind of be a little, like, shocking and jarring. So let me kind of explain this just to kind of lay out the storyline. So this war that we're in, the spiritual war, it started a long time ago. It started way back before any of us were alive. In fact, it started all the way back at creation. When God created the world, when Jesus created the world, he created humanity, and everything was perfect. All right, we had perfect relationship with God. And Jesus' reign, God's reign and rule were established on the earth. That's how things were at the beginning. That's how God intended everything to be. And then Satan came along and tempted humanity with sin. We gave in to temptation. And when we did, sin entered the world and ruined everything. And when we did that, two disastrous things happened when we sinned and gave into temptation. Number one, our perfect relationship with God was ruined. We no longer had this perfect fellowship and relationship with God. And the second thing that happened was, is that humanity gave over, God gave humanity dominion over the earth. And so when we sinned, we gave dominion and authority of the earth over to Satan. So all of a sudden, Jesus' reign and rule was no longer established on the earth. So that's what happened when sin entered the world. And when these two things happened, that's when this spiritual war began between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And so for us, this war that we're in, it is about undoing what happened at the beginning. It is about undoing those two terrible results. Okay, so this war is about spreading the gospel so that all people could once again have right relationship with Jesus and that the reign and rule of Jesus would be established on the earth. That's what this war is about. That's what the gospel is about. Okay, spiritual warfare fits right in the umbrella of spreading the gospel. All right, this is a war that we are in. It is all the way a war. It's as real as any other war going on. And we are right in the thick of it. So that's really kind of the context of this war, just to give you a little backstory. So let me kind of break this down a little bit more, so hopefully this will make sense. Okay, so I think when I say the word war, I know for me, I have kind of certain ideas and definitions and connotations about what war is. Like, you know, I hear, for us, we think about war, it's like death and destruction. You know, there's two sides fighting. One side, you hope, is good. Sometimes in a real war, both sides are bad, and you don't want either side to win. But in warfare, it's kind of hard to understand because, like I said, we think of war as death and destruction. And you're like, but Jesus, he's so loving, and he's kind, and he's forgiving. So how does this all work together? Okay, let me try to explain this. Hopefully I can do this. So here's the deal. Jesus loves every single person on the earth more than we could ever understand. He loves every single person who has ever lived, is living, and will live. And at the same time, Satan hates everything that Jesus is about and hates every person. And so Satan wants to keep as many people as possible from knowing Jesus and also from keeping Jesus' kingdom established on the earth. And so what ends up happening is you've got Jesus who loves everybody, who wants everybody to worship him, and he wants to establish his kingdom on the earth. And you have Satan and his kingdom trying to stop that. And so you have these two sides of the war fighting ferociously for their objective. And so for us, we are a part of that. We are part of God's effort to help people find right relationship, to worship Jesus, and to be a part of this war and establish his kingdom on earth. That's what this war is about. And that's what we are trying to do. Okay? So that's the war we're in. And it's as real as any other war you've ever heard about, maybe it's happening on the earth right now, or has ever happened in history, okay? And I just want to say, as Christians, if you're a Jesus follower, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you have signed up to be a part of this war, whether you knew it or not. If you didn't, surprise, you're in it. But you probably knew that, but this is just a reminder. We have signed up to be a part of this war, and we are, our lives, as we spread the gospel, are to help people connect in right relationship with God and to help establish God's kingdom on the earth. And we have been a part of this war ever since we started following Jesus, again, whether we knew it or not. And this is a war that we're in for our entire lifetime, that we are part of this. This is lifetime service and commitment as we help spread the gospel, okay? So this is the war we're in. This is a war that takes place every minute of every day across the entire earth. And just to say that this is a really important war. In fact, it is the most important war ever. It is the most important war that will ever take place on this planet. It is the spiritual war that we're in between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And we're all in it. We're all a part of this effort. It's big. We're in it. And there is no turning back. We're at war, and we're on God's side, and God's going to win. But we're in it. And this is who we are. And this is what we are about. And so, I don't know if I need to do this, but I was just thinking about this. I kind of just want to take a second and kind of breathe a little. I don't know if anybody's like, what? But this is kind of a lot to kind of process if it's new to you. But this is what we're doing. This is why we are part of the reason we're in the kingdom of God. This is why we are following Jesus. And really, if you just want to kind of put this in simpler terms, it's just this. We are in this war wanting for others what God has done for us. That's really what we're trying to do, if that's kind of just a different way to say it. But we're in this spiritual war, and we want what God has done in each one of us and transform us to happen for others. And we want that to spread to others. So, yeah, we're in a war. So that's the big picture of what's going on here and what we are all about in this spiritual warfare. So what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about how this war kind of plays out in our lives. Like, how do we live this out? Like, it's one thing to say, all right, we're in a spiritual war, and that's kind of big, and it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around. At least it is for me. So I kind of want to know, how does this work in my life? How do I live this out? And so what I want to do is I just want to ask a few questions and then answer them just for us to think about as we live this war out in our day-to-day lives. The first question we want to ask is, okay, if I'm in this war as a Christian, where am I to fight? A soldier needs to know their battlefield. So the question is, all right, where does God want me to fight this war? So we want to ask that and answer that. Second question is, how am I supposed to fight this war? I mean, if we're going to fight, we need to know how we're supposed to do it. You know, for example, if you're in the military, there's a lot of different ways you can fight. Like if you're an infantry soldier, you fight on the ground. You might drive a tank. You might be a fighter pilot. Maybe you're on a submarine. But you got to know how you're supposed to fight based on how God wants you to fight. And the third question we want to ask is, what are the traits of a soldier of Christ? We need to know kind of the values that we're supposed to hold to so we can live this out. And the last question we want to ask is, what weapons are we to use? How do we actually fight this war? You know, you've got to have weaponry if we're going to fight, and so we want to talk about that. So, first question, where we are to fight. Okay, now, in war, the commanding officer puts soldiers in strategic places. Like, for example, if we got into a war with Canada, the United States did, I think we would win. But if we got into a war with Canada, we would put soldiers in places like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, North Dakota, like places near Canada. That would make sense. We wouldn't need soldiers in Florida or Texas if we were fighting Canada. And so God has put you on the battlefield strategically. Now, for us, this spiritual war, it takes place. It's over the entire planet Earth because Jesus wants everybody to be saved on Earth, and he wants his kingdom established throughout the Earth. So the battlefield is Earth, the whole thing. But here's the thing. God has put you in Macon for this season of your life to fight this war. This is where God has put you. All right, this war is, you are to fight it in Macon. God has led you here through the Holy Spirit and through free will to fight this battle here in Macon. And for however long you live here, this is where you fight. And if you move to another city or something, but you keep following Jesus, you're going to fight there. But God wants all of us as citizens of Macon that we fight this battle here in Macon. My brother-in-law was in the Navy for a number of years. I remember he was stationed in Rhode Island, then Jacksonville, then Mississippi. And so he always moved around, but that's where his commanding officer sent him to be a naval officer and to defend his country. And just like that, Jesus has sent you here. He sent me here. For however long you're in Macon, this is where you fight this war. So that's our first question we want to deal with. The second question we asked was, how are we supposed to fight? Like, how am I supposed to fight? How does this work out in my life? This is really easy. It's pretty simple how we fight this war. The way we fight this war day to day is that, we fight this war by just loving and serving Jesus in the lives that we're living. That's how you fight this war. That's your role in it. That we love and serve Jesus in the lives he's called us to, and that's how we fight it. So, for example, if you're a spouse, you're married, your job is to be the best spouse you can be and to love and serve Jesus in your marriage, and that's how you fight this war. If you're a parent, you strive to be the best parent you can be in God's grace, and you fight this war by loving and serving Jesus as a parent. All right, if you're a banker, you be the best banker you can be for Jesus, and you just love and serve him in that role. And that's how you fight the war at your bank. If you're a school teacher, you love and serve Jesus the best that you can as a school teacher, and that's how you fight this war in your classroom. by loving Jesus, and that people can see Jesus in you. If you're a bus driver, it's the same thing. You be the best bus driver you can be for Jesus, and you love and serve him on that bus. That's how we fight this war. You know, I think sometimes when you talk about war, it sounds like we're all supposed to quit our jobs and form an army and, like, go preach on street corners and become, like, really strange people. No. Do it in the life that God has called you to by loving and serving him there. And that's how we fight this war. So wherever God has put you, love and serve him there, and that's how you fight. The third question we ask is, what are the characters, you know, the character traits we need to be soldiers for Jesus? I think it's really two important things that we need to be. Number one, we need to be disciples of radical. Wow, this is not working. I'm sorry. Try it again. Nope. Nailed it. Took 18 times, but I got it. So, but we become radical obedience. We need to be disciples of radical obedience if we want to fight this war. You know, in the military, if God gives you, or your commanding officer gives you a command, you don't get to question it, you don't get to ask why, you don't get to talk back, you don't get to fail to do your duty, you just do it. And for us, we want to be people of radical obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so we need to be people of radical obedience, that we don't pick and choose what we're going to do, we don't do some of it and not all of it, but we say, God, we want to follow everything you say and do everything that you do. And we need to be people of radical obedience to fight this war. And the second trait we need is we need to be committed to the mission of the war. Like in warfare, a soldier just does their job, whatever the mission is, whatever the objective is. And that's the same for us. You know, that God says, okay, this is the mission. And that we are committed to the mission of helping people connect with Jesus, and that we want to see his kingdom established on the earth. And we are totally committed to that. No retreat, no excuses, and no surrender. So those are the two main characteristics I think we need to be good soldiers for Jesus: radical obedience, and that we are radically committed to the mission of the war. So that's our third question we wanted to answer. And the fourth and final question we asked was, what weapons are we to use? You know, it's so important. If we got to fight a spiritual war, we need to know the weapons that God wants us to use. And let me say this about our weaponry real quick. Again, in our human understanding of war, war is about, you know, so much death and destruction. But in God's war, it is about love and redemption. It is about restoration. So our weapons are redemptive fully and thoroughly, and kind of through and through in nature. So the first weapon we use is prayer. The way we fight this war is that we're people of prayer, that we seek God in intimacy and we cry out in intercession. Prayer is what moves God and moves his kingdom forward, and prayer is what breaks the kingdom of darkness and the work of the enemy. So we've got to be people of prayer to fight this war. The second weapon we want to use is God's word. We use his word. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, he talks about spiritual warfare, and he says that the sword of the Spirit is God's word, that we know God's truth. When Jesus, if you read the Gospels, he engaged in spiritual warfare. When he was tempted by Satan, how did he defeat Satan? He used Scripture to defeat Satan, because Satan's only weapon is lies. All he can do is deceive us. And so the way we combat that is with God's truth. And our last weapon is this. It's love. It's love. It's specifically God's love. You know, Jesus said we're to love him and love others. And all of God's kingdom is an expression of his love. Everything God is about is an expression of his love. For example, spiritual gifts, those are just empowered love. The fruits of the Spirit, all of those are just different expressions of love. So we have to be people who radically love God and radically love the people in the world around us. But that's the weapon we use, is love. You know, Satan is full of hate, so what do? We do the opposite. We love with God's love, and we let Christ love people through us. And if we do that, that again destroys the work of the enemy, destroys his kingdom, and moves God's kingdom forward. So those are our weapons, all right? Again, prayer, God's word, and love. And if we'll live those out, and they're not just weapons, but really the thing is they're a lifestyle, that we would be people of prayer, people of God's word, people of his love. And if we will live that out and embody that, we really will advance God's kingdom and push back the enemy in this spiritual war. So let me do a quick review of everything we've said. Like I said, we're in a war. God has been at war since way before we were born. And when we signed up to follow Jesus, we said, all right, we want to fight. We're in. And so that's what we're doing. And so the Lord has called us to be a part of this war. And again, this war is about spreading the gospel, that people would connect with Jesus in right relationship, and his kingdom, his reign and rule would be established on the earth. And that's what we are fighting for in this war. And we know we're supposed to fight in Macon. We're supposed to fight by living the lives that God has called us to love and serve him in those lives. All right, that we to be people of obedience and committed to the mission, and we use our weapons of prayer, God's word, and his love. And if we can kind of get that all that into our lives and live that out, we really will be effective soldiers. We really will be used by God to advance this war and to move it forward for God's kingdom. So, all that being said, there's one more thing we need for this war. There's one more thing we need to do. We're almost ready for battle. And the last thing we need to do is just real simple, but it's this. We just each have to make the conscious step of faith before the Lord and say, God, I want to fight. That I'm in. You know, that we come before the Lord and say, God, you've called me to this. That God, I want my life to help move your kingdom forward day to day, moment by moment. You know, like Isaiah the prophet, when God called him, he said, Lord, here I am, send me. That same idea that we're like, yeah, Lord, we want to fight. I'm in. I want to help advance your kingdom and spread the gospel. And so what I want to invite you to do during our closing song today, or maybe you want to do it later today, that's fine. Just take a couple of minutes and just pray. And just be like, Lord, I'm in. And maybe for you, you've prayed this prayer 1,000 times. That's great. Do it one more time. You can re-up. That's cool. You've never prayed it before. Pray it for the first time. And just know this. You're going to sign up. And I was trying to find this quote. And you know, sometimes you have a quote in your head and you look for it and you're like, did I make that up? Like, you know, you just imagined it. I thought there was this quote in the movie Troy where it says, you were made for this war. And if Google says it's not in there, I guess I have to trust that. But I was just thinking of that quote, you're made for this war. Maybe I just made it up. But anyway, I was just thinking about, like, you were made for this war because God saved you to fight, and he saved me to fight. And he wants to use you, and he's going to use you. And it's going to be good. And God is already using you. And so we just want to be a part of God's effort to advance his kingdom because we want to be good soldiers. And that's what God has called us to be. And so we want to go for that. I'll close with this, and the band, you guys can come back up for our closing song. One thing to note about this war, and this is really important, it's a really unconventional war in this sense. The war is already won. The war is already over. Because when Jesus died and rose on the cross, that was it. That was the ballgame. Satan was totally defeated. But the thing is, though that won the war, there are still battles we fight until Jesus returns. And so we are a part of these battles day in and day out. We're a part of this war. And Jesus has already attained the victory, and there will be a full expression of this victory when he returns. But until then, we continue to fight, and we're a part of it. And I just want to close you with this quote. I don't know if you've ever heard of a woman named Corrie Ten Boom, but she was a woman who lived in World War II. And she was a Christian, and what she did, she fought the Nazis. And what she, her ministry was, she would take in Jewish people and hide them and get them out of the country so they couldn't be executed. And Corrie Ten Boom, you know, she fought the Nazis. She understood really what spiritual warfare was about because of her real life situation. And she would say about being a soldier for Christ, she has this great quote. She just says, it's time to report for duty. And so that's what we want to do today. So I'm going to invite you guys to stand up as we close this last song. And I'm going to pray for us. And then just for you during this prayer, during this song, or maybe on your own, just to say, Lord, I'm in. I want to be a part of this war. All right, let me pray for us.